When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Coming to you live from the darkest timeline, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who says, you know what, maybe they should have just done the triple. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Double Eviction, baby. And as is the case with so many double evictions in our past, it's an unhappy recap here tonight, okay? A nice, quiet double eviction last week, but we went double or nothing, and I guess we came up with nothing because we've got a lot to talk about here from 2 hours of pain here on Big Brother 23, but we have a great panel to talk about it here with us tonight. Of course, back with us, had an easy 24 hours with very few live feeds to cover. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Excited to be here. You know what they say about me?
I'm the best time you can ever have.
Yes.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Where that we were planning a podcaster road trip to Vegas, and we said, "Who else is the ultimate wingman to have?" Mm-hmm. Like, it's Taryn.
Yeah,
it's Taryn.
People were like, that Mike Bloom? No, mm-hmm. No, he doesn't even like to go out. You got to get Taryn.
Yeah, you'll be like the camera in The Hangover of after the road trip is like, what happened? Like, they're like, well. There was some movement. Go through the day.
Well, I'm here to update you on everything that you did in Vegas.
Yeah. All right. Very excited to have back with us Kirsten McKinnis. Kirsten, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me on your guys' trip, Rob. Mm-hmm.
But
I don't actually want Taryn to tell me what I did in Vegas. It's supposed to stay there. Yeah. How dare you? That's why we don't invite you, Taryn.
Yeah. You didn't help vote off all the other women that were supposed to be on the panel tonight, did you?
I would literally never. How dare you? The only regret I have this week is that I blanketed on Sunday instead of today.
Yeah, you wasted the good blanketing.
I should have done it today, too.
All right. And then also here with us tonight, Puya Zambakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm okay. About as okay as one can be. Yeah. Happy to be here with the three of you. And I just want to put on record for those of you who might be like, hey, why is Taryn going to be going on this trip? Taryn has done stuff that we might not have seen or known about. So just so you know, that's why Taryn is coming with us. Okay.
What? Me? Little old me?
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm ready with that.
Well... We're going to get into it. Of course, Puya and Taryn, they're going to have the quick turnaround here for the morning when the feeds come back up after the episode airs on the West Coast. Do I have that correct,
Taryn? They're already up, actually.
Already back up.
It seemed like they were going to come up after the West Coast airing, but we actually do have some feeds now. So. Mm-hmm.
And who even knows if that's what they're intending? Yeah. They might just be on and nobody knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And no one's watching anymore except Taryn for the rest of the season, the feeds. So.
Yeah. He'll watch the live feed, so you don't have to, of course, exactly. Tomorrow morning at the live.
It is my
destiny.
Yes. Destiny. Yeah. Puya Friday, tomorrow morning, catch it on. And we'll be live with the patron Q&A on Friday afternoon. But, you know, I hearken back to wondering, you know, Azza and Kyland, if I may be so bold, Losers. What are you doing? What are you doing? You two should end up together because both of you could figure out who loves Xavier more. Who has the middle school crush on Xavier? Is it Kylan or is it Azza? Who wants to lose to this guy worse?
Well, I think that Kylan has the bigger middle school crush. It's just on himself. And the way to love himself the most is to go to the end with Xavier.
Mm-hmm. Nah, if Kylan loved himself more, this is not how things would be happening.
Well, yeah, it's a middle school crush. He's a little confused.
Oh, of course.
Like, does anybody like that's, you know, we're following the feeds and know like this backwards logic that's going on. But Puya, if you are a person who's watching the show every week, how confused must you be? Like, why doesn't anybody vote out Xavier?
I mean, can he do any
is
wrong?
Is Azza trying to win?
Well, that's Rob.
Is Azza trying to win? Is Kylan? Is anyone but Xavier trying to win? Xavier keeps finding himself on the block.
I don't even know if he's trying that hard.
He's just chilling. He's chilling all the way to the end.
I mean, Rob, according to what the audience saw tonight, they may think what Hannah thinks, which is that Hannah was collateral damage and not the truth, which is that Hannah was the target all along because we didn't actually see any of the conversations outside of the one,
yeah.
Even though we had 2 hours and it was pre-taped.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the most frustrating, of the many frustrating things that it was like, oh, well, we're going to pre-tape the 2 hour episode because, and I guess nobody said that, but we just assumed it because it made sense that, okay. All right. A 2 hour episode. Okay. Well, so then we have a chance to actually see what's going on. We saw less in the pre-taped double eviction than we saw last week during the live one.
Pre-taped 2 hour double eviction. We saw less than the 1 hour live double eviction.
Yeah.
It's the way they literally kept in like the scenes where they had to bleep out language rather than putting in anything else that would provide us with context, more information.
I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I learned tonight that Bob Hart Abishola is still on the air, that yeah. They're using Turn It Up for the neighborhood commercials now. Right. I learned a lot tonight, just not about the show I was trying to watch.
Yeah, Puya, you mentioned it on Twitter of like, so the first hour we went to like, Enzo has a foot stalker levels of filler of just like segment. And then the second hour was like, all right, 60 seconds of comps or ceremonies. And then, yo, dog, I hear you like commercials.
Mm-hmm. They front loaded it. They backloaded it. Sorry. They really made us feel like, okay, we're going to get a little bit more. The curtains peeled back a little bit more of that, a little bit more of that. But in reality, it was like, okay, they rolled balls. You two are good. Let's go to commercial. Then you come back and you're going to roll balls again. Oh, you did them already? Let's go again.
Two-part HOH.
Yeah, the two-part HOH was absurd. I mean, and they knew. They knew going in. Like, everybody knew going in. It only mattered if one person won that HOH. And so by making it a two-person HOH, you're taking a gamble that the one person that it matters for isn't going to stay in the game. I guess the casual audience doesn't know for sure who between Azza or X, so they don't know what they would do because they haven't told us. But it's still, we literally watched them one by one roll 10 balls. And even if you are a casual person in the audience and you don't know what they'll do, why is there tension? Because you don't know what they'll do. So you're like, do I want Azza to win or do I want Xavier to win? Mm-hmm. I guess if I like Xavier, I'm rooting for him, but he actually doesn't want to win probably. And they're both going to do the same thing. And so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. And why do you need two parts to this in the first place? And it's so ridiculous. I get that I think they filmed this live to tape, which is why we saw all the mistakes still there. Cause they shoot it live to tape and they're like, good enough.
Done.
Yeah.
Let's take a day off.
Yeah. And programming note, we'll be back tomorrow night for another episode of Big Brother.
Another meaningless HOH.
Who will win the HOH? And how will they use it to keep Xavier from going home?
I need to talk about this two-part HOH because, first of all, who thought of this idea? Who was like, oh, you know what would be a great idea? First, they have to knock balls off, but then they have to get the balls on. I've come up with a trick. But, oh, in the second part, they have to throw them at the exact same time. And if they don't, Julie will scold you. If I wanted to watch lawn bowling, I would go, like, get drunk and play lawn bowling. Like, what is this?
No. Here's the best part of all this, Kirsten. Tomorrow night, we're going to see the Final Four HOH. But the finale is in 13 days. And there's four people. How is the finale in 13 days? How did they do this? I don't know. They have such a knack for stretching this content out. And for what? If the finale was 2 days from now, I would have been okay with it. We would have been great. I feel like it's bad. I don't like it.
This was the finale, Puya.
I mean, that's a good point, though, because, like, let me tell you, like, the audience drops off of this show. I'm willing to bet that there is a significant portion of the audience that's not even listening to this very podcast right now, because they've already stopped watching the show. And there are some great people who have stopped watching the show who continue to listen to the podcast.
We have a wonderful audience tonight, Terry.
Yes. But they drop off of the show because it takes so long, and there's no incentive to keep watching when you know what's going to happen if you don't have much of a rooting interest left. Mm-hmm. And it happens every single season that people just start dropping off. There's no reason that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Well, again, the show doesn't need to be 99 or 100 days. Well,
this is a shorter season. This is only, like, what, 85 days?
And still, they're torturing us. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm in Saw, and production is freaking Jigsaw. Oh, do you want to play a game? No. Like, I would cut off my own arm to get out of these last 13 days.
I think that there's only one winner that you can walk away from the season with now. And it has to be, you're all in on Xavier, because that's the winner that you can say to all these other idiots. Yeah. The you morons. Everybody said Xavier's going to win. You blew it. You had a million shots to get him out.
Oh, also, let me be the first one to give Taryn my condolences for the loss of his winning possibilities the draft tonight. Yeah. Sadly.
I was all in on Hannah.
Congratulations, Puya, on winning the draft, by the way.
Thank you. I'll take that is my win. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because we've been calling Xavier the front runner for so long now, because we assumed that once we got to six, that he would have such a good chance to win out. And yet these first two evictions, it's been Kylan. Kylan could have evicted Xavier twice now if he wanted to, and would have, if not for very recent events where he was convinced that Xavier was playing the best game.
Mm-hmm. It's just the honorable thing to do, Taryn. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't even think he says it's the honorable thing. It's just the Kylan thing. It's a very unique thing to him. Mm-hmm. Honor is too generic.
Is there any chance Kylan could go out here at four, Taryn?
Yes.
Okay. Look, I got something to watch now.
Kylan's winning the HOH. Don't get your hopes up. Like, just like we know, it's good. It's the worst case scenario is what happens this season. It's what's happening. Mm-hmm.
So Kylan has won the last three competitions that he has competed in at this point. He won the HOH, the veto, and then the veto again. I think another stat here is that up to this point, I believe Kylan has never actually lost a competition to Xavier. Xavier has never won a competition against Kylan. He's only won competitions that Kylan has not been a part of. So he definitely is looking like the person to beat in competitions right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I guess let's talk through this this 2 hours of show, but we can get through it pretty quickly, I think. I guess, look, I think we did get some nice things in this 2 hour that we, you know, we got all the setup up to going to this vote ultimately tonight. I thought that the scenes with, you know, Tiffany and Hannah talking through their situation in the beginning of the episode, talking about what they accomplished, but also, you know, Hannah giving credit to Tiffany in the episode. That was one of the nicer beats, Kirsten.
Yeah, that, like, anytime that it's Tiffany and Hannah on the screen, I'm going to be happy about what I'm getting, because I don't think that either of them have really given me anything to be truly upset about all season. Like, I love the friendship. Mm-hmm. I love the connection. I love that the beginning half of this episode really was like, no, we're going to drill down and we are going to give credit where credit is due for why the cookout exists, why they were successful, how they were able to be successful. And that has been like pretty sorely lacking. So it's nice to really get it spelled out on the show for everyone to see. This is why history mm-hmm. was able to be made.
Yeah, and we will get more of that in this episode. One other thing that I want to highlight before we get to when the show became the live portion. The story about Xavier's brother who passed away and Xavier having to take care of his nephew. Taryn, was that a big part of Xavier's story this season that he talked about in the house?
So he hasn't talked about it to other people in the house really at all. It's something that he's kept to himself, but he's talked to himself about it, especially in the early portion of the season. He would sort of break out into tears at times because this is a very recent thing and he's still processing it. And you know, it was something that he was struggling with throughout the season. It's definitely a huge part of his story. It's just not one that he likes to talk about a lot at this time. But it's definitely, you know, if you're talking about sort of like motivations for him in the game and things that are really like pressing on him in the game, it's definitely a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to be a, you know, a huge motivation for Xavier. I'm surprised that the show didn't tell us this story earlier until we're at like in the 70s of days to, you know, have such a prominent figure as Xavier. And we have this this, you know, story about his motivation in the game.
Genuinely, I think he probably wouldn't talk about it until now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the segment with Julie in the first hour. And Puya, this was, you know, a little bit jarring that for the first time, the cookout is able to openly discuss what they've been able to accomplish. And, you know, I thought that there were some moments that were kind of revealing in terms of the questions that Julie was asking for the final six.
This was very fun to see. I mean, this is one of those scenes that you don't often think would ever happen, but we literally had a group interview with Julie openly talking about an alliance to those members of the alliance because all six of them made it there. So I really did enjoy seeing this. This was the one scene they did preview on Twitter. They posted the video of it on Twitter. So I had seen this earlier in the day, but it was very interesting because very clearly she tried to ask everyone something, but only really Tiffany got something, X got something, and then Hannah got a little bit of something. But it was mostly Tiffany was the first one to really tackle it and you know, get us there.
Yeah.
And the men were pissed. Their faces when Julie went to Tiffany, it was telling. It was very telling the way that they looked when she was the first one to get a question.
Well, and her question was, you know, why was the cookout so important to you personally? And, you know, the others got questions like, Big D, was it a challenge to keep this group together? Not really about the purpose of the cookout.
Yeah, I enjoyed it because I I like that. What are they going to do? Object in right then and there? They've been doing that a lot this week where, you know, they're building themselves up and discounting everything else that has been done by Tiffany. So it was very nice to see Tiffany get the first crack at it and get the main question. I did enjoy that.
And Taryn, it seemed like that the producers were like, all right, we got to move on. Julie's like, Azza, they want me to skip you, but I'm going to still ask you a question anyway. I know nobody cares about you, Azza, but let me just quickly get a question in here.
I mean, they couldn't make it more obvious after the previous episodes where it, like, literally over the last two episodes when they've talked about the cookout made it, they've shown diary room segments of every cookout member except for Azza. She has not gotten any piece of any of that. And then in the thing that is so clearly designed to address the criticism of you haven't let them speak for themselves enough about why this matters to them, she goes around to every single person. We're running out of time, Azza, so just quickly, could we just please? And then she had some great things to say.
She had some great things to say, but, you know, in fairness, by the end of this 2 hours, if you skipped Azza, did we miss a lot?
I mean, in terms of her talking about why.
No, I know. I'm joking. and also she mentioned faith, which Julie's, oh, I'm so glad we went to you.
It's one of her favorite words.
So yeah, literally, like, I was drafting a child tweet about how Julie was going to be so excited about her saying faith. And then Julie said something before I could even press tweet. And I was like, you couldn't give me a minute, Julie? Like, you could have just not. No, she can't. Mm-hmm. She loves faith. It's one of her favorite words.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So good job there.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Got a long segment at the jury house. Jury house, but yeah, I think they cracked the case.
Yeah, it's safe to say at this point they've put the two and two together and they kind of know what has happened, why it's happened. It was very fun, and I don't want to jump all over here. It was very fun seeing some of them really piece it together right there while the camera's there. Mm-hmm. DX, I'm looking at you specifically. I definitely did enjoy this segment, even though I felt like, again, the spacing of the show itself was a little bit off for me. Like, you could have just had it be one bigger segment, but the commercial cuts and all that, I wasn't really there for that. But I did like that we got to see them, and we got to see all three jurors join the jury house. So I thought that was very good.
Yeah.
Well, and Derek X, just like his absolute shock that there's never been a black winner of Big Brother US is like, that's right. It is shocking. And it is happening this time. Like, I feel like that was good to see. Like, he's so surprised. He's like, it is surprising.
Yeah. But how does he not know this?
He hasn't watched the show.
Didn't he watch? He watched two.
It didn't
seasons,
come up
right?
The whole season.
That's it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, who's talking about it if the cookout's trying to keep it quiet, right? Like,
exactly. I guess so. All right. Yes. SB comes in, and it seems like Kirsten, that SB is the one that has like the missing puzzle pieces.
Yes, she is able to name the whole cookout alliance. She's like, I think this is the alliance, names all six of them. Mm-hmm. And they openly talk about the reasoning behind having the cookout alliance as well.
And Kirsten, I don't know if like there's been like too much like discussion about this. I don't think that SB is going to vote for Kyland in the end.
I liked the way it was brought up specifically. She said, I'm still confused about the unnecessary lies that he told me. And that is something that was brought up numerous times, that he was doing too much and that he was telling lies he didn't have to tell. And we talk a lot on this podcast about how lying proactively is a good thing, better than lying reactively. But there is still a line of when you're doing things that are not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Kai and Sarah Beth and really Kai and how he operates in the game a lot is that it's not just lies that she's referring to, right? You know, she is getting choked up as she explains that she has a hard time getting over, and the only way that she can word it is the unnecessary lies. But I think what she means here is the just overwhelming control that he demanded over her, that she must tell him all of her secrets and even personal ones, and the very late night hours long marathon conversations that where he is, you know, just hammering home different points about why he is so great and he is looking out for her best interests. It was not to solidify her position in the game. It was to satisfy his own ego. And I think she has recognized that, like, this went beyond the game.
Yeah.
The way that he treated me.
I am pretty sure Kyland is going to get shut out in the finals against Xavier. Is there a player in the house who could get a jury vote other than Xavier?
I still think it's not impossible that Kyland wins. I don't. But I think it's looking very difficult, especially if he's the one to take Xavier to the final two. Obviously, if Azo or Big D are sitting next to Xavier, I don't think they get it. I don't think they get a vote.
Yeah, I think if Xavier's not at the final two seats, there are some discussions to be had. Beyond that, like one, maybe two. But I mean, I said this tonight, but I feel like even at his best, even if Kyland comes in the best form he's ever been, answering everything to perfection, I feel like the bigger argument will be everyone said he's the biggest threat. Claire stood there, not of her eviction, said he's the biggest threat. And you took him to the end and you've saved him with the veto time and time again when you could have taken a shot at him. Why should I care what you're saying right now? And I think I quickly want to touch on the thing that happens between why SB feels so crossed by Kyland. Taryn nailed all of it pretty much. If you invest that much time into someone and they talk to you over and over and all this time, making you believe that you matter to them more than anything, and then you hit them with the cross like that at the end late, that's going to hurt more than anything else. It would hurt more than anyone that didn't work with you.
Yeah.
Because again, you don't expect a call to ever come from inside the house like that. And this call came from the next room. It wasn't the inside the house. It was pretty brutal. So
yeah. Just think about all the businesses that Kyland visits and would like give them like all these like positive reviews, and then then he could turn on her like that. One star.
Yeah.
Like that. The thing about a Kyland versus Xavier vote is that we saw that Brittany was very anti-Kai. We knew that going out of the house, she also felt like Kai unnecessarily lied to her.
Put her on Sarah the block.
Anti-Kai.
Yep.
We didn't hear a lot of anti-Kai stuff from DX. And we know that DX had a pretty good relationship with Kai. He knows that Kai has put a lot of work into the game. Claire, she's annoyed by Kai, but she did have a conversation with Hannah where they talked about how, yes, it's dumb that everyone's keeping Xavier, but has he really done that much? For me, I think that there are a lot of people who could be open to voting for Kyland, and I think that Tiffany is the linchpin in that scenario, right? Like, Tiffany is the person who holds that together for Kai. If she goes to the jury and she says, listen to me, Kai has played a great game. I mean, he got me. He's convinced Xavier to bring him to the final three. He did so much work on Sarah Beth, on Derek X, on, you know, whoever. I think that Tiffany can pull numbers for Kai. She said she would, but she also said that she would not in the one spot where he brings Xavier to the final two, because why would he be so dumb? So I don't think it's impossible that he wins, but he is doing his absolute best to lose.
Mm-hmm. So hard. So hard.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever tried harder.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I feel like even if he were doing his best to win, I have my concerns about Kyland in a timed jury question period. Like, he's a verbose dude. I don't know if he would communicate it succinctly enough. Like, I feel like it'll be a lot of your time's up, your time's up, your time's up. And that also could be a problem.
We had that scene tonight where Aza asked him how he was doing. He's like, well, you know, depends on what you mean by that, because
I'm a philosopher. About, like,
he's going around and around and around.
And I love that. Genuinely, I was pretty into the first like half hour of this show, because even though we got the big D, you know, I'm
the best time you can ever have. Yes.
Like, I get that was filler, but it was a character moment for Big D. One of the few times in the episodes that they've actually shown Big D as Big D that we see on the feeds. And we also got Kyland as Kyland we see on the feeds in a small segment. I felt like this is the first time the viewers of the show are actually seeing who these people are, which has been one of my main criticisms all season long, which is that how does the audience know who these people are? They have these weird images of them, but we've gotten very few character moments to actually explain who they are. And so I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed what we got from Xavier as well. We talked about that already, but now there's still a lot more that they should show, both about Xavier and Kyland and certainly Big D. And it's very disappointing that they're not showing any of that, but it felt like a good start. And I appreciated it, but
probably the last one. Right? It's finally they did this, because tonight was episode 31. Old school Big Brother, Big Brother 14, 13, they were 30 episodes. So those seasons would have been done by now. The fact that it's episode 31 when we finally are showing the casuals or just the non-feeds viewers the real sides is pretty wild to me. Mm-hmm. But again, at least they're doing it, which I guess is a good silver lining.
I was talking to my sister about this the other day. She's a casual Big Brother viewer. And she literally, because I was complaining about the show not, you know, showing what's actually happening, how the people are and all that. And she said, Kirsten, the show's not for you. It's for, she called herself. She said, it's for idiots like me who like to watch the competitions. It's not about the people. It's not about the game. It's for people who like the competitions. And I was like, can't you like love yourself enough to care about the game? Like what's wrong with you? Well, and she's not even going to like that competition from tonight, because she's going to be like, well, that was a boring competition. She likes, you know, bigger set pieces and that kind of thing. But I think the broader audience of the show maybe doesn't actually care about who these people really are, which is disappointing, but it makes sense why the show doesn't feel obligated to show them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's true, though. Like, I do think that the competitions are a much bigger draw to the casual audience than they are to us, certainly.
Yeah.
But if it was just competitions, then, you know, people would watch American Ninja Warrior, or they'd watch Wipeout, or they would watch, you know, countless other shows that have much more entertaining actual competitions.
Yeah.
I think people watch because they do get invested in the characters. Same reason they watch any reality show.
And I think that if they did do what Taryn is talking about, maybe that would be a reason why people watch the show. The problem is that they don't do it, so people don't realize that that's something that they're missing.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about this was a long jury segment. We barely even talked about Claire coming through. And boy, there were some shocked faces, Puya, when it was revealed that on Tiffany's HOH, that was how Claire Bear went out.
Oh, Claire Bear. Yeah, that was one of the big highlights of the jury segment for me. They were astounded. They couldn't believe it, even though they had just been given some context as to where Tiffany's true loyalties would be. I don't think any of them thought they were going to see Claire there and then see Tiffany stay on and win that HOH. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a lot of fun. Yeah. What was very awkward, though, was that at this point, Alyssa's also there.
Yeah.
So they're showing the whole clip of, okay, so initially it was Alyssa and X, and like, I still can't believe you went. And Alyssa's like, I'm sorry. Like, I had to stay for you to leave. So it was very interesting, though.
Yeah. And so Alyssa, you know, has had some of the same sentiment of like, I wish they would have just told me, because now, but she did say that, you know, that that was, as a fan of the game, you know, she thought it was genius what they did. But we got to see some of the goodbye messages. And Taryn, this was a question that was coming up, like in the double eviction, what happens with the goodbye messages? And I don't know if they record them after the fact or what, but they definitely get them. And we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks, but these Kyland goodbye messages are ridiculous. And I wonder if that's going to be a factor when Tiffany gets to the, like, obviously they're not going to know the name of the cookout, but when Tiffany walks in, then everybody's like, oh yeah, you guys had a complete alliance. Like, yeah, Kyland explained that, like, oh, that he had an alliance with you and Xavier. And boy, I thought we weren't saying anything.
Well, listen, Kyland explained to me that, that I shouldn't feel dumb or played by anybody. So that really made me feel good when he said, now I don't feel it at all, actually. He also said that he, to Alyssa, that he was trying to prepare her to face reality. I mean, not since Dr. Will's final two speech has somebody been that bold.
Mm-hmm. When he told her, like, I don't know if you feel upset with me.
When he was saying to Alyssa in the goodbye message, that he was trying to prepare her to face reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's going to set this guy up to face reality?
I just, you know, Kyland, his byline is gaslight, gatekeep, not girl boss, but essentially
girl boss.
Same sentiment.
Give it to Xavier.
You know, but yeah, not great. Like, what does that even mean? I'm trying to prepare you for reality. The reality of what, Kyland? What are you talking about?
It feels like in almost every speaking segment we saw from Kyland tonight, he has this way he goes about speaking, right? Where he kind of takes the long route, but it's not the scenic route. It's the route with all the dead ends and the alleyways that you don't want to be at. Mm-hmm. And then it's his attempt to like veil the real thing that he doesn't want to say. He can't be direct. There are so many moments where it's like, just say the thing that's direct. At this point, it don't matter. It really doesn't matter. You make things worse when you speak like this because people are like, well, I'm already past the bridge. Why are you still talking to me in riddles? I don't have to answer anything. The bridge was long ago for me. I'm out of the house. Mm-hmm. Speak to me regular. I think it's going to be a problem for him. I really do. That's why I think even if his form is at a 15 out of 10 finale night, he's going to have trouble communicating and navigating any questions or any moments where he has to quickly articulate his answer without trying to go in a roundabout way.
Yeah. Taryn, I think he's going to be in for such a shock to the system when he gets out of the house, where I just feel like that the delta between like how he thinks he's going to be perceived and how people are perceiving him is just so off. Him and Derek F.
You know, I don't know. I feel like he has built a very strong layer of protection around himself that is his own ego and delusion. And he strikes me as the kind of person that will just avoid the social media and be like, they don't know.
He can't avoid social media. How is he going to tweet at brands, Taryn? Like, it's part of his like life. But yeah, no, I think that Kyland and Derek F, they may never know peace again after they get out.
Okay. Then let's get back to we get our first vote. Tiffany, I thought Tiffany had a very classy speech. I think she knows not going to change anything, but she had a strong goodbye speech to the house.
Yeah, no, I loved everything about Tiffany's exit, except for the fact that she had to exit, to be honest. I thought, she handled everything so amazingly and really just used her last moments to remind us all how lucky we were to have her there. Because I genuinely enjoyed it. I like that she kind of uplifted everyone on her exit. And then even with Julie, I mean, not that it was a competition, but she wins the exit interview portion with Julie. I thought she answered everything beautifully there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kirsten, that was one of the other few nice things we got that we had far and away the longest exit interview segment of the season with Tiffany.
Yeah, having the extended time with Tiffany on the show was amazing. I loved watching it. And it was so good, again, on the show for everyone to see Julie saying to Tiffany that she was the strategic mastermind. She was the creator of the Cookout Alliance, and to recognize it on the show, which was something that I didn't think the show was going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to see that on the show, on CBS, for everyone to see, made me really happy.
Yeah. Taryn, they really did give Tiffany her flowers in this episode tonight.
Which was nice. Personally, I don't think it was enough. I think that they should have been doing more prior to this, and they still could have done more even here. I'm glad that that they made an attempt here.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be that the expectations had been set so low based on how they edited Tiffany all season long, mm-hmm. that now to get anything feels like, oh, they finally did it, when you're absolutely right. They could have done better all season with her.
Well, how could we do better? Because I feel like that Tiffany was just such a phenomenon this season. It was such a joy to get to cover a season with her on it. I felt like that from early on in the season, when we first saw her, playing fantastically on the live feeds, but even like on the episode, that I feel like that she was somebody who played hard. She was somebody who was just electric in the diary room. She brought so much to the show. She brought the drama. I mean, she was everything that we ask for in a Big Brother contestant. And it just was so nice that we had her in this season. I mean, I really feel like that of all of the, casting hits that we got in this season, I mean, Tiffany, far and away, I think, was the best casting choice that they made in this entire season.
I completely agree.
And it isn't close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tiffany's the type of player that we want, but we never think we could have. We never thought we could have. I remember reading her bio and stuff before in the preseason, and I didn't she didn't give me what she gave me on the show. I was very surprised mm-hmm. when I saw Tiffany play the way she did, and it was delightful. Everything she has done was to set up what ends up being, to me, again, I've mentioned this before, a very important season and a very fun season. I've had a lot of fun talking about the show this season. I've been on top of feeds pretty much the whole way through. Every now and then with other seasons, I might fall off, I might hop back on, I might play jump rope. She's kept me, going, and it's been very great. And my hope is, moving forward, she has inspired other people to come on and play game similar to the way she played. Play fearlessly, play with heart, play with everything that you have. And I genuinely look forward to reading all the bios next year and seeing how many people say Tiffany's who they like and who their favorite is, because mm-hmm. I genuinely think she is in the upper echelon and she will be on those lists for many years to come.
Well, and the other nice thing too, just to, pile on complimenting Tiffany even more, a lot of times we see people come into the game and they want to be a great player. They want to be a great strategist, and they allow themselves to push down personality or not show personality or just be kind of bland in the interest of staying in the game longer and, not ruffling any feathers. But Tiffany is, I think, the rare exception of somebody who has an incredible personality, who is bringing drama, who is giving entertainment, but also has an amazing strategic mind and can really put the pieces together. We do not get players like Tiffany every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was, not a perfect player. I don't want to make it like that she was the greatest Big Brother player that, we've ever seen, but she had like an incredible mind for the game. But Taryn, she also, brought the mess a little bit, and that I feel like that a lot of when we're talking about the elite Big Brother players, they don't bring it and it's boring.
Absolutely. And it's something that it's very easy to get caught up in what's happening right now. And forget that, a long time ago, over 40 days ago on day 22, I was on a live feed update and I said, "Ooh, Tiffany just came up with this plan She wants to go to the Six with the cookout. It's an interesting plan. It is not her optimal move. It's going to make it a lot harder for her to win this game. But it could work. And it's interesting. And then we see this play out. And there are some people that are like, oh, I guess if she was so great, then this wouldn't have happened. As if we haven't been saying that this was probably what was going to happen for over 40 days. And so I think that, you know, ultimately the way that Tiffany will and should be remembered is as a player, as the player who gave up the most this season to advance her cause, the cause of the cookout, of getting the first Black winner to ever win this game, of getting the cookout to the final six. It does not mean that she definitely would have won. It does not mean that she is the best player of all time and got robbed, whatever. But it does mean that she did play this game sort of like Eric Stein did, you know, a self-imposed as opposed to Eric Stein's more coerced, you know, hands tied behind her back. And a lot of people want to punish her for that because they didn't like the decision she made to get to the six. But it is the decision she made, and she did play the game with her hands tied behind her back, and she still made mistakes, and she maybe still could have won even with her hands tied behind her back had she not made those mistakes. But that only says better things about her game, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that she feels like that that's the mistake that she made. I think she feels like that, and I don't know, she might have even gone for that HOH when it was down to the final eight again, if she had the chance. But like if she had to do it over again, she's not going to, you know, not come up with the plan that ultimately got the cookout to this position. She would have done it the same way if she had the do-over.
And I do think that another part of this conversation as well is that the men of the cookout have decided in their minds what the narrative of the season is. They've decided that they created the cookout, that they are the ones that get credit for the history that was made this season, that, you know, Tiffany and the other women in the Alliance first weren't doing enough, and then I guess we're doing too much, and that doesn't help the situation for Tiffany either. There wasn't a whole lot that she could do based on that perception as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think look no further than the fact that when Tiffany decides this is the assignment, this is the blueprint, this is how we'll get to the end, all that mattered was getting the six to the end. The fact that they all got so hung up on, well, she won this one when she shouldn't have, and she's trying to protect the one that she didn't say she was going to protect, that really ended up becoming, at least to the guys, what they decided, this is the catalyst, this is the reason, the definitive reason we needed to make this be the target that needs to be. When in reality, you know, we've talked about this, and Taryn mentions this is why I gave her an eight that one time I was on the round table. It was like, if we always knew if you get to six with this group, this is where your downfall might be. But it's ridiculous that to them, the reason was that competition. It's absolutely ridiculous, but that is the reality we live in. That is what they've decided is the reality. It's fiction, but we move.
Yeah. When the men of the cookout say that they are the most deserving, and that's why, not because she's a big threat, but that's why she is less deserving than us. She has done less than us to get us here. It at best exposes their ignorance of the game that they were a part of, and at worst says much worse things about them.
Mm-hmm. And just because these three people in the house say that that's the case, it doesn't necessarily make it the case that I feel like that the all of the people that have been watching this season as closely as so many people listening to this podcast have, they're never going to really let these three get away with that line of thinking outside of the house. They will be ultimately you know, turned around on this the first time they try to say that outside of the house.
again, they will never know peace again. The one conversation that we saw that kind of ties into this that I'm really glad was in the episode, because it's one of my favorite things that I watched all week, was when Tiffany told Derek, if you are at the end with Xavier, Xavier wins.
Yes.
Like, period. And Derek goes to Xavier, just, you know what she said? She said, you'd beat me. Like, I can't believe she'd even say that.
Mm-hmm. Rob, I was at the edge of my seat, because it is rare that we get a golden moment like that. It was an amazing moment. I tweeted about it. People loved the tweet, the Pikachu face. It was great. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to get this on the show. This is the conversation where it happens. Okay. Wait. This is the literal moment it happens. She's literally saying to him, Xavier's going to beat anybody he sits next to. The next line is Big D saying, I think it's going to be a hard decision for the jury if we sit next to Xavier. And then Tiffany says, oh, it's not a hard decision. It's an easy decision for me. I'm voting for X. I know everyone else is voting for X. Mm-hmm. And Big D's like, what? And they cut right before it. I was like, what? Are you serious? You just, like, it was, everything was lined up perfectly. You had the great, great moment. And you were just like, here we go. Here we go. Great moment coming right at you. Now we're going to someone else.
Yeah, Taryn, they had to show us two rounds of lawn bowling. They didn't have time for the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad we saw any of it.
Yeah, it's,
I have Stockholm syndrome, don't I? I'm just like, ugh,
about a the lawn scrap bowling?
Of like positive mm-hmm. content on the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tiffany, that she ends up getting taken away. We didn't get to see the guy this week.
Yeah, was
the handler.
Murray? Yeah, Murray the handler with the glove. Yeah, that was wild. Sad to see. We didn't talk about, though, when Julie alludes to what if another person was to leave tonight. Tiffany's face is, that is why I watch these segments. I want those
that
reactions,
should be a gift.
And she delivered.
Yeah.
And it will be. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Could be a meme. I don't think she moved. You just use the
still.
Might
be a still. It'll be a still, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Brian's galley's already thought of a million ways to use that still. Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to, this is where the episode really goes off the rails. Like, I mean, the first hour, other than Tiffany going home, wasn't that rough. But this second hour. All right. So we're going to start with rolling the balls out. And this was not super exciting to watch. Ultimately, Xavier gets it. Azza. Taryn, much like last week's competition, seems to like space out and forget she has to buzz in after. Like, that would have been great if Hannah would have then come in second and hit the buzzer.
Azza is so bad at directions. I mean, there hasn't, like, between last week where she stopped answering the questions the second she got one wrong, to then this week where she forgets to hit the buzzer, and then again she forgets that she's not allowed to not go at the same time as Xavier. Like, it's just constant forgetting the instructions from Azza. I will say, I didn't mind the competition itself. In terms of double eviction competitions that haven't been part one, that haven't been quizzes, because I do like quizzes and double evictions. I liked that we got the still, a steady shot
quad
of
cam.
Each person's mm-hmm. Of each person's thing, and I got to watch it play out. Like, I was very fine with that. I enjoyed that. Yeah. If it had been the actual HOH competition, it would have been much more exciting, and I would have been very pleased with it.
Okay. All right. So then we get to part two, and did we need 10 rounds of part two?
Well, that's the thing. Like, quad cam was fine. Everyone was rushing back and forth, throwing balls, four screens. It was it was good energy. I liked it. But then we take commercial, we come back, we cooled off, and I was like, all right, now both of you grab a ball, stand here, and then when I announce, only when I say you can go, roll the ball. And it's so tedious.
There was one rule to this competition. Roll the balls at the same time. That's
and
it.
Why? Like, why? Like, why? Like, if they have to do it 10 times, why couldn't it just be, we see both of them doing it, it's like, you get 10 balls. The person who gets the most to the end gets the most to the end. Why is it at the same time? For what? What purpose does that serve? It did not add anything. It just made it take 10 times longer.
I do think it serves a purpose in that you can keep track of who's in the lead. Whereas if they were just doing it willy-nilly, you'd lose track of how many balls they've thrown. So it makes sense in that way. I just don't think they needed 10. Make it five at best.
Three.
I guess the problem is that the first five, they just dropped they right missed. Off the edge anyway, which would have been also a disaster. But
the practice rounds.
Mm-hmm.
The real solution here is don't make a part two. That was completely unnecessary.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So Azza wins the HOH and we're going to see Azza. She makes a promise to Hannah, Kirsten. She says the promise is she made a promise to Kylan, but she's going to put her on the block. But don't worry, she'll break the tie.
Yeah. And Hannah's sitting there being like, no, like there's not going to be a tie. Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, no, there'll be a tie. I'll break it in your favor. I'll break it in your favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to briefly say, I think that Xavier threw this to Azza, and I think that was absolutely the right call.
I do think that, Xavier went and being like, well, if I have to win, I have to win. And then when it became clear that Azza had figured out, like, the amount of force to use, then he kind of gave up. Like, I don't think he went in being like, oh, I'm definitely throwing. Yeah.
But Kirsten, let me say,
because he doesn't want to look like useless, you know?
Devil's advocate here, though. If I'm Azza, why not put Kylan and Xavier on the block? What's the worst case scenario?
They're her men in the house. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
She had to fulfill the promise to Kylan because Kylan fulfilled his side of the promise and didn't put her up. So she had to return the favor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the four of us are going to echo the same sentiment. It was absolutely baffling that they both didn't touch the block and that Hannah did.
Mm-hmm.
But Hannah, I mean, we knew this about Azza. Like, I feel like in the preseason, Azza told us she plays a truthful game. So I'm not shocked by that. I'm just shocked that when you're so close to the end, you wouldn't just.
Would she have broken the tie for Hannah?
No.
No.
Azza told us two things in the preseason. She told us that she's like an honest, trustworthy person, and she told us that she's boy crazy. And we've seen.
I believe the word penis was involved.
No penis. Well, okay.
There was.
You didn't have to do that, but you chose to, anyways.
I mean, they didn't have to include that boing noise.
I had forgotten about that, and now I'm gonna
think. Did we ever fully unpack that moment of the premiere, or is it too late now?
I mean,
really, I'm a little bit boy crazy, just a little tiny bit. So, made a rule in the house: no penis, nothing.
Okay. I mean, has she broken it? She played a truthful game, Kirsten.
It just depends on what she meant when she said no penis, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I mean, this is just another reason why having a second part to the HOH competition is such a bad choice, because it gave Xavier the ability to then throw this competition, which, you know, again, the more options you give the players to control the outcome, the more they will control the outcome. And now heading into the final four, where Azza is the target, she cannot compete in the HOH competition, which only makes it even more likely that the obvious is going to happen there.
So we get our nominations. Okay. And it's we get Hannah and Xavier on the block. And Julie's like, all right, well, we're going to play our get ready for the veto, where one of you may. Have the chance to come down. What it may, like, yeah, we know how the veto works, Julie.
It was very weird. She goes, one of you two may be the next one evicted tonight. Oh, yeah. Now I'm saying may because there's a veto. Like,
yeah, no, we got
case
it.
You forgot. Like, we know it's, the there's
week
been a veto
11
for a
of
long
Big Brother
time.
23. We got this.
Yeah. You guys missed the part after where she said,
making myself laugh.
Okay. Time to play What the Fleep. And really, what the fleep indeed. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. It was listen, this is the competition where, as a viewer, you change every bleep to penis as well, because that's what the house guests were doing. They kept laughing. Baby could not handle himself.
No penis.
I do not think that every bleep gets changed to penis. I think they all inappropriate in your mind, but I don't think penis is the correct and appropriate word. Shannon,
it was either line. Yeah, no, it was either falafel or penis. Those were the two words that I kept substituting, and it worked for all of them.
Never a full pasta, Booyah?
Not in these contexts. And maybe the one Christian one definitely did give up that one with the friends. That could have been full penne.
Only one person was laughing during this competition, Taryn. Oh, Big D was so tickled.
Big D loves to laugh. He loves to laugh.
The ultimate wingman.
Yeah, it's, Big D, he loves the thing.
The carefree laughter of a person who knows that they are absolutely not going home under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, this was hard, Puya, because this is like a lot of these Mets games that I watch where Hannah is losing. She ends up coming back and tying it on a one nobody else got right. She tied it up. Like, all right, here we go, baby. Only to blow it on... Which one was it
It was the Brent one.
Freaking Brent!
Champagne didn't mess up Hannah's life enough this summer. God.
Gotta ruin everything, Brent.
Mm-hmm.
I think she just choked, because I feel like that was a pretty obvious answer, too. And it was just like a lot of pressure in that moment and a lot going on. And it just sucks. This stupid Brent. I don't ever want to see his.
I mean, the roller coaster, though. Like, I genuinely felt the rise when she was the only one that got it right. One out of five people got it right. It was her. Now she's all tied up. Lovely. But then to lose it in the immediate next question. Oof. Hurt. It hurt.
Yeah.
We get to a tiebreak question between Kylan and Xavier. And I don't know, Xavier, Chris, would you say, was it full-on Rachel Swindler math for Xavier?
The math was not mathing, to say the least. I didn't, like, he did his whole, like, numbers down the side and then didn't use the number that he came to and then had to cross it all off and start over. This was no Braden showing he knows the exact right answer. Oh,
he was slick with it, though, because he wrote 1,100 and then, like, backs out, changes it to 15, and Julie was like, what's that number? He's like, let me put it down for you one more time, and then went back to his original answer.
Yeah, let me just write it a little more clearly for you, changing in the answer. This one.
It was slick.
Yeah. So
I also like too, Julie's like, can you hold up your whiteboards? And they're both holding it like as low as possible. It's like, could you exert the effort to lift it up just like an inch higher so that it could be a little bit more visible?
Yeah.
Like, come on. You've been in here how long?
So Kylan wins the power of veto. And then we see nothing. We didn't see one conversation.
Yeah, we see Kylan and Xavier like walking out of the bedroom multiple times, like arm in arm, like they were just, you know, canoodling or something, like oh, here we go, hey bro, let's do it. But we didn't see any of the conversations.
Yeah.
Like what is going on here?
Puya, we know more about what Bob and Abishola are going to be doing.
Yeah, I found out, third season? Cool.
Yeah, I think they're doing like Bob and Abishola the other way, it looks like, this season. They're going to Abishola's place.
And then Bob and
now let's see Bob as the fish out of water.
Yeah, let's see how that plays out. We learned entirely too much about other things instead of this conversation, which, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about prescription medication available in the United States.
So much prescription medication on Big Brother. I mean, that I don't know what this says about, I don't know, the audience of Big Brother, but that's the target demo for a lot of pharmaceuticals.
Isn't that just American CSI? TV in general?
Yeah, CSI.
Well, CSI is coming back now.
CSI coming back? Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I mean, these commercials, the medical ones are always wild because it's one of two ways, either really grim or it's very happy. And it's like two people, a couple walking in the park. And in the background, there's this one guy ad-libbing the worst symptoms in the world. Like, this medication might give you chronic diarrhea. And it's just people being happy. And it's like, really, which should I listen to or should I just look at the happy couple? Well, like, where do you want me to go with this?
It's because they talk really slow when they talk about the possible benefits of the medication. And then they speed up at the side effects. And that's actually a legal requirement where they can't spend more time talking about side effects.
Turns into Busta Rhymes at the cons of the medication. I'm like, okay, relax. It's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just the Canadian.
I just have it muted. I never watched the commercials.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. That's how I usually do it.
All right, so we're going to come back. Kyland is going to take Xavier off the block. Taryn, why?
Because, of course, because Kyland needs to let everybody know at every turn that this is his decision, that he is bringing Xavier to the end, because I'm just weird like that. You know, I just want to go to the end with the best. You know?
And it's the thing where he thinks that he's doing something and showing agency, but it is going to look to everyone else like, wow, Xavier has Kyland so snowed that Khan's using the veto on him.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then we do another commercial, right? When we come back, the live eviction. Boy. Okay. So we get to the live vote. And this was, I think, that perhaps the most infuriating.
Kyland. Hey, Julian. Yeah. Please cast your vote to evict.
Whirlwind. Big D actually has done so much that people don't know about. And I got to give him credit. So I sadly must vote to evict Chata.
What the bleep?
Shut the fuck up, Kylan.
Kai, are you serious right now?
So
he's not wrong. Let me explain why. The thing, Big D has done so much that people might know about. He's done the most sleeping. Mm-hmm. He's done the most complaining. He's done the most venting about nothing. He's acted the most, acting like he's the most deserving. He's the most cocky. He's done a lot of those things. But only those things. This was, again, if people...
Wait, do you think Derek F. is more cocky than Kyland?
I think Derek F. is in a world of his own. I'm not saying he is the most, but he's done a lot of it. He's done a lot of it that not everyone might know. If anyone didn't know about, has been confused about the dialogue of, like, well, why are people so upset about the way the guys might be acting in the house? Look no further than this, where literally... This is them actively downplaying Hannah as a player and bigging up Big D. Just say you want Hannah out.
That's
and
it.
We're fine with it.
I sadly to a vote Hannah. That's all you have to say.
No, because he thinks that we're idiots and he thinks that all he has to do is bat his eyes and say, you guys don't understand long-term thinking. Big D is actually a much better player than Hannah. Yeah. And that is why I'm not actually being inconsistent with my character. Just so you know, this vote is because you haven't seen what Big D has done in this game, which is why I'm keeping him over Hannah. You poor souls.
Do we look like Sarah Beth?
Exactly. Hey, thanks for all Sarah Beth.
Over under 3.5 minutes after Kyland gets his phone back, do we get a tweet about how we don't see everything and we don't know? This is the gaslight. The gatekeep gaslight. He's right there.
I have this image in my head. It's like December 2nd. Okay.
Okay.
And Kyland fires up Twitter. He's like, composed tweet. At Armstrong Taryn, hey, can you DM me? I would like to talk. I can see it. I can see that.
Still. And then then a reply to that at Rob Sesternino. Yep, yep. I would like an answer to my complaint. I got KG will be through the entire chain of command. It's not going to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, there's not a place on for Google reviews for Rob as a podcast.
I mean, the Apple Podcast Store.
God, just watch out.
Yeah. So Xavier also will vote to evict Hannah. Hannah is going to be evicted. And she goes out like a champ, Kirsten. She says no hard feelings.
And when she's going out, she's saying no hard feelings. Xavier and Derek and Kylan are all at least like talking to her. Ozzy is standing in the back like a dementor, saying nothing. Just like the negative energy was just oozing out of her. And I was like, what is happening? At least say goodbye. What are you doing?
I think at that point, Ozzy realized that she had screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the three guys were just going to start like jumping up and down and celebrating. And then the camera like panned over. Like, oh, I forgot Oz is still in the house.
Well, that's the thing. They basically were like hugging each other and crying. And she was like, what have I done? And then Big D was like, oh, right. Oz is here. Oz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that with this final four, do we have big Wizard of Oz energy here with the Cowardly Lion, the Scarecrow that if he only had a brain, and the Tin Man if he only had a heart? I mean,
I've never watched Wizard of Oz.
Kylan is the Scarecrow, Xavier is the Tin Man, and Big D is the Lion.
Does that make Ozzy like who's Dorothy. Ozzy? Dorothy.
Yeah.
And now she's like, wow, there is no place like home.
Yeah, she'll be saying that very soon.
I wish I could see home when I looked at anybody at this point.
She will click her heels three times.
Yeah. All right. So the Hannah interview with Julie. Do we learn anything?
I mean, I will say there are some deep parallels to, I mean, what we saw last week in the double eviction. Hannah tells Alyssa, you're going on the block next to Xavier. Xavier's the target. Alyssa leaves thinking, I was just collateral damage because of the veto competition. The exact same thing happens to Hannah. She thinks she's just collateral damage. She hasn't yet realized that Azza's no much worse than you think she is at this game, and she was actually targeting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Julie is trying to wrap up the interview with Hannah and tells us this.
Stay right there. I got to get us off the air. They're screaming at me in my ear.
No, that was us, Julie.
I like how we're on season 23 and Julie still just can't be like, okay, got to wrap it up. She has to be like, okay, got to wrap it up because I'm getting yelled at. We didn't need to know.
Yeah. I mean, she's practically Ron Burgundy of anything they say in her ear that she has to say out loud right after. So it's like, they might as well have a speaker that says, Julie, please end the show now.
But, and yet she's still, you know, She's giving us positive messages week after week, and they're not telling her to say that.
Mm-hmm. Like, people in my ear, this is not child of God behavior. Can we please chill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So then at the end of the show, again, it's a pre-tape show. Lots of audio dropouts. It sounds like that Kylan's about to say something here. I would love, this is our own version of what the bleep. What is Kylan about to say right here? Who's the top two social?
Definitely Big D. I mean, he's talking to Big D, right? He's saying that Big D is a top two at one of the top two social players in the house.
Him and Big D are the top two social players. Is that what he's saying?
I don't know if he's saying himself, but he's definitely telling Big D that, like, he's, you know, telling you're great, Big D. You're one of the top two social players in this game.
Yeah, in this game or all time. Yeah,
probably this
of this generation.
Kai, are you serious? right now?
Yeah. Do we have live feed spoilers?
We do.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Kirsten.
Do we feel better now? Like, has this been therapy? I don't know.
I mean, feel a little better.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, well, let's see. Let me. I don't know the live feed spoilers, so let's see how I'm feeling in a couple of seconds. So we're gonna talk spoilers. If you're gonna jump out now, tune in tomorrow night. We'll be live to talk about what happens. We'll get our HOH competition and nominations coming up here, 24 hours from now, and of course, let's see. We'll see what happens. All right, let's do the live feed spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been.
All right, we're not in the mood to dance tonight. That's it. All right. All right. What, Taryn, what's happening?
Okay. So I said that Xavier had not yet beaten Kyland in a competition. It appears that streak is over because Xavier seems to have won the final four HOH. Another reason why it was great for him to be able to throw that final
five
HOH.
And then do we have nominations?
I believe he nominated Big D and Azza, leaving Kyland off the block. Azza is extremely upset.
But it's the final four, so it's all about the veto. I can't wait to get that confessional seven times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And
so my only technical question is, Azza gets put on the block. Effectively, she was the last person who had not touched the block. Does this count or doesn't count? I don't remember where we stand as historians of, does this count that she was... Because the veto is all that matters.
I think
does it count
counts.
That she's on or... It counts? Okay, four counts.
It counts because there was another option.
Yeah, I think the final three doesn't count if you're not the HOH.
Yeah, final three doesn't count. And, you know, depending on, you know, like how it happens, like if you intentionally want to go on the block at four in order to hide something, I wouldn't really count it against you. But if you're being put on the block at four because you're expendable, then for sure it counts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Any chance that Xavier is going to backdoor Kyland here if he wins the veto?
Is there any chance? I would say there is a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think likely. It's super likely at this point.
Mm.
I think there's been enough of Kyland breaking his back to prove that he will ride with Xavier that even if Xavier had doubts, they've gotten very less.
Yeah, at this point, it might be like, Xavier, what are you doing? Like, this guy is trying to give you the game. Like, why would you get rid of him?
Yeah, I feel like whatever happens here for Xavier, like, nothing can really go wrong for Xavier. Here.
What if Azza wins the veto?
Well, that is not entirely clear. It should be pretty obvious she evicts Kyland over Big D.
Yeah.
That's, I assume, what would happen. Now, we have not seen where Azza's head is at since, since Wednesday when this was filmed. What that has changed in her mind when it comes to Xavier, Big D, and Kyland, how she's feeling about the three of them. Big D is, when the feeds come back up, talking about how extremely upset she is with him. And he is saying that he believes that she would evict him if she won the veto. Now, I don't believe a word he says.
Why is she mad at him?
Because every single week he thinks that he's going to be evicted and nominated and whatever. So I don't think that this means that it's reality, but I definitely could see why she would be upset with him, considering it's probably become very obvious that the three guys have been working together. And she knew that to a degree, but she thought it was her Big D and Kyland. And she was okay going out and forth, you know, if something went wrong. I don't think she was okay going out and forth if they were like cutting her for Kyland going into three. She was okay with them taking each other to the final two, but this was like finally one step too far. Mm-hmm. And so I think that she may be upset with that. But again, we don't really know for sure at this point.
Can I make one other prediction tonight? That if Kyland somehow isn't in the final two, he ends up being the most bitter jury member.
I can see
like,
it.
Like he'd vote for Big D over Xavier in the end. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Are you kidding me? It's going to be members of the jury. There were so many things that Big D did in this game that you guys did not see.
Many complaints that I
you don't even understand. Xavier's likability isn't even earned. By the way, where did that go? All of a sudden, Xavier is this god that needs to go to the end because he's the most deserving. But his likability for so long was supposed to have been unearned. He no longer appears to be of that opinion. I'm sure he will continue to say things like that after the fact. But that complaint has magically evaporated.
Mm-hmm. If Kai gets evicted at the four or the three, I can just envision him being like, I'd like to speak with your manager. Actually, I don't like this customer service decision. I'd like a coupon for another stay in the Big Brother house.
Julie, I'm actually very unhappy tonight. May I speak with Murray?
The service has been atrocious, okay? One star. I would give zero if I could, but I have to give one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let me just say something out loud here. Because it is technically true. Azza is two competition wins away from winning the whole game.
Okay. I mean,
it doesn't feel that way because it doesn't seem like it'll happen, but it is a fact.
And you know what?
She's hot.
What was she my preseason winner pick? Yes. So I wouldn't be mad about being right.
Yeah.
Is this her winning and taking Big D to the two?
It's her winning the final four veto, cutting Kyland, winning final three HOH, bringing Big D to the final two, winning probably 7-2.
So technically three competitions.
What?
It depends on how you count the final three HOH.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Look.
I thought about
I wouldn't hate to see it.
Would make up for a lot of tonight, Azza. Okay.
I mean, it's because of that, she is now probably the second most likely winner of this season, because I think Kyland has probably dropped below her at this point, because I don't see Kyland getting to a final two where he wins the game anymore, because Xavier's definitely making the final three.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. Yeah, we have some questions. Are there any worthwhile questions? Let's see how you did, audience. Let's see. Lady of the Latrine wants to know, why didn't Hannah, why did they show her trying to get Kyland to use a veto on her? What do you think she might have said? Like, hey, you should use a veto on me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was not super like the conversation with her and Azza was like, they're going to vote me out. It was a very clear conversation. It was like, they're going to vote me out. Like, and Azza was like, no, they're not. She's like, okay. And that was it. And it was like, so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, we saw Hannah pitching for a lot of this week. I feel like there wasn't much new that she could have said in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and the whole like her being on the block the prior week leading into this double does mean that she used all her like what other new ammo does she have? Right, not a lot. The minds are made up. I think she knew that
she could have been like no, but really, they're going to vote me out. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not saying it would have worked, but it would have been nice to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, there could have been more of that that actually was said that they chose not to show us because they had to show us an advertisement for asthma medication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Dorothy, who that's Oz's role in The Wizard of Oz. What does Oz think her path is to the end? Should she have thrown tonight's HOH? I mean, she's been begging to get an HOH thrown to her for the whole season. I don't think she should look one in the face.
She genuinely does not have or see a path to the end.
Mm-hmm.
She said that for weeks now, that she doesn't think she is going to win this game. She has told Big D, if we get to the final, what she saw, I'll tell you what Azza, exactly what Azza saw as her path. Her path was, I win this HOH in order to get Hannah out because I don't want Hannah to win the HOH and put Xavier and Kyland up on the block because then I would have to vote Xavier out because I made a deal with Kyland. So she wanted to win this one to take out Hannah. And then she thought that Big D and Xavier would then take out Kyland at four and that she would get to the final three with Xavier and Big D, and they would take each other to the final two, and she was fine with that. And if she won that final three HOH, she would take Big D, and she was fine with losing to Big D if that's what happened. But that's what she saw as her path. Obviously, she was very wrong about that path.
Mm-hmm.
But she never really saw a path for her to win the game. She only saw a path where she gave it to the people she liked the most.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ginny Muse, will Tiffany try to get the jury to vote for X if he and Kylan are the final two? I think that really depends on how she feels about Kylan.
I mean, she said that she would, you know, advocate for Kylan and the jury unless he's against X and brings X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think there's a chance she does step up for Kai. I think that there's a large part of her that will be like, not if you take Xavier to the end. So, you know, I would guess that she is not going to be doing the work that she would need to do in order for Kai to make a significant progress in the jury.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm just seeing if there's any other worthwhile questions. I think everything else we covered. All right. Anything else before we talk about what's coming up? Okay. All right. Well, pray for these young men because they have to, after this, watch more of the live feeds to talk about them with you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's, you know, we kind of just did it, but there'll probably be some more to talk about tomorrow. We'll probably have some kind of explanation for what went down with Azza and everyone else and how Azza is feeling. There is still this, I mean, Azza has a 1 in 4 chance theoretically to win this veto and really shake things up for the end game here, going to final three. So, it could be, interesting as a result there. So there's some stuff to talk about.
I mean, there's a chance for, you know, all sins will be forgiven if Azza can, pull this off. I'll win the draft.
Again, though, genuinely, if Azza wins this veto, all of a sudden, the final three is Xavier, Azza, and Big D. And that means part three of the final three HOH is almost definitely going to be Xavier versus Azza in a question comp where they've both performed. You know, he has outperformed her in question comps generally, but I mean, it is not impossible for her to sneak out a win there.
Kirsten, wouldn't this be the wonderful story of the season where Azza, jilted by Xavier all season long, her middle school crush, she's the one that tells him, how about see you never? I sadly vote Xavier.
And imagine, though, it's the Fruit Loop system all along that wins her the game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't they changed the structure a little bit of the final three questions where it's less relevant to what happened in the game, or is it more now?
It's more relevant.
More now. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but this would be her moment.
Yeah.
Azza at the end of the movie, A Cinderella Story, where Hilary Duff says, waiting for you is like waiting for rain in this drought.
Mm-hmm.
Waste of time.
The House. It's a good movie.
California. Pointless and disappointing.
Yep.
Perfect. Yeah, not to rain on this parade, but anytime we've seen Azza in one of these live question comps, the minute she's behind one, she's like, I don't know, I'm out. So like, it feels like she checks out.
Yeah.
So I'm worried that if that she misses one, is she going to like not be able to jump back on potentially? But it's not a 0%.
Right? Yeah.
It's a questions comp.
Because, yeah, it's going to be like if she can get to the veto, then, okay, Xavier's going to win part one of the HOH. And then it's her versus Big D in part two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like stranger like, things and part have two is happened. Yeah.
And part two is typically like running around. And again, you know, Big D, in fairness to Big D, did do, you know, pretty well in the BB comics, better than any of us thought he was going to. So, you know, Big D could potentially win, but usually I feel like that part two is like a lot of like climbing and running around and putting things in order. In the past, it's been like, you know, scaling a rock wall. So it seems like Azza would have a leg up on Big D in that spot.
Absolutely.
Taryn, what was the final four veto last season?
Last season, final four veto was the final four final four veto was the chessboard thing, right?
I feel like a lot of the time lately it's been where it's a day's competition, but then there's some sort of twist, like you punch the thing for five and
The hamster wheel with the days was last.
Yeah. There's the hamster wheel. They've done it in the past where you have to like punch stuff. It's the last several years, I feel like it's been a day's competition, but with some kind of weird twist to it.
All right. We'll see. Okay,
Knight moves his final four HOH. The veto was that, they were rolling the ball, the amount of days, which has been the final four veto for the last few years.
Like, I feel like at least since BB16, I feel like it's been something like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, tomorrow afternoon, we'll be back. The BB Q&A call-in show. Last week, we had a great show. We had a ton of callers. Jacob Jones stopped by. Crashed the show. It was great.
He's great. We love Jacob Jones out here.
Yeah. So join us, patrons. We will be live at 2 p.m. Eastern for that one. We will send you the link out on Patreon. Call in with your questions for Taryn and myself. Then Friday night, we'll be back again. Taryn, Brian Scally, Chantel Francis, and me will take you through the Friday night episode of Big Brother. It's going to be No Big Brother on Sunday. We'll have the Emmys coming up on CBS. Kirsten, we didn't see a lot of Emmys commercials.
Yeah, and that is weird. You would think that they would be advertising that, especially since it's airing in Big Brother's normal slot.
One, right? I remember just one.
It's almost like that there's maybe Big Brother's is snubbed of like, oh, you're not going to give us any Emmys? Well, run your commercial somewhere else.
Well, they could
find another spot
or nominate
produce
us.
Their show better if they wanted an Emmy. But
All right. On Monday on the slop, Mike Bloom will be joining us. I think we're going to be a little bit earlier than normal coming up on Monday. I believe 5:30 Eastern for the slop coming up with Monday, but should be a lot of fun with Mike Bloom this week for the patrons on this week's edition of the slop. And then this past Tuesday night, we closed it out. We did it. The all-time top 40 season rankings are in the books. Myself and Chappelle and Shannon talked it through. We broke down a fitting end to the countdown. The top 40 rankings are over. You could listen to them all at robinswebsite.com/rankings. You could hear Kirsten talk about Millennials versus Gen X, China, and Puya with came in for three seasons along the way, including most recently Kagyan. It's a lot of fun and so happy it's over.
I feel like since it's ended, you are already like you're sitting taller. It's like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders. You look 10 years younger now that it's over.
It's there was a point where I'm like, well, what am I going to watch? I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. All right, I still got 4 hours at the Circle to keep me busy for the next couple of days. But we just posted earlier tonight, talking with T-Bird, that, of course, T-Bird tracked down so many great survivors along the way. And it's a great closeout to season two of Talking with T-Bird as the Queen. Sandra Diaz-Twine talked with us about many of the events from Survivor Heroes versus Villains, Survivor Pearl Islands, and much more on the latest Talking with T-Bird with Sandra, with the Queen. Even Lil Phoebe 23. Sandra's watching.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, yeah, get a little bit of what Sandra's thinking about BB23 on that podcast. Then earlier today, I spoke with the Purple Pants badass, Bryce Isaiah, that we did Issa look. Of course, that's when Bryce takes his first look at the Survivor 41 contestants. He's going to tell us who's bringing that winner energy to season 41. A lot of fun with Bryce. Can't wait for you to hear and see that episode coming up on Friday. And then we'll be back together for The Circle. Kirsten, you'll be joining us on the panel. Have you started watching?
I'm caught up. I've watched all 8 episodes, and I'm like sad that there's no more for me to watch until next Wednesday.
Okay. So. Kirsten, Taryn, myself, Jenny Autumn, Genevieve Guadalupe, going to be a good time on Saturday. I think we'll be 5 p.m. Eastern. Had a lot of fun last week. Looking forward to diving back into The Circle coming up on Saturday. Then, Puya, what's this? The Masked Singer is back.
That's right. It came back. Well, we previewed all the costumes on this episode. We did a draft. We now know what's going to happen. It's a 2-day premiere next week, competing with many shows. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited to have the podcast come back. And Liana and I will be back every week to break all of that nonsense down.
Okay, check that out in our Masked Singer podcast feed or the Reality TV Rehap-Ups feed. And 90 Day Fiancé, Puya is back with Brian Scally.
Oh, yeah.
Kirsten, were you jealous?
Second person.
That Puya got to talk to Brian Scally this week.
Yeah, I mean, I feel I'm not going to get to podcast with Scally for quite some time, but it was a great episode to listen to. And so I just kind of sat there like that meme, like eating the frozen yogurt. Like, yeah, I'm there too.
Yeah, no, Scally was great. It was his first time. I finally convinced him to check out 90 Day, and he had a lot of fun doing that and watching that. And then I've got a newcomer again this week, Rob, coming on to talk 90 Day with me. Yeah, another person breaking the 90-day barrier. Chappelle will be joining this upcoming week to talk about
episode
4.
What an all-star lineup of guests you've had. Wow. Yeah.
I do what I can. Once Taryn's done the Big Brother sub, maybe we convince him to catch up. We'll see how well I can make that
happen. Yeah, I mean, 90 we'll days is about the length of the Big Brother season, Taryn.
True.
Yeah.
Much there.
Okay. This past Wednesday, I also spoke with Chantel Francis on our BB Q&A. Big Brother of the Mind, the Survivor Q&A. We talked about everything going on with this upcoming season of Survivor. We'll be doing that all season long during the Survivor season. Just one of the many podcasts you can hear, including the two Big Brother patron shows that we're doing in our patron podcast feed at robisatwebsite.com/patron. We also launched a brand new budget draft for the patrons. Information up on Patreon at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Of course, for our sponsors, check out robhasawebsite.com/offers, including our links for amazon.com. And then you can click the subscribe button to make sure you get all of our videos along the way. Subscribe to Rob's podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on social media to check out everything we're doing at Rob Has a Podcast on Twitter and at RJP Grams on Instagram, and Rob Has a Podcast on TikTok. Okay. That's what I've been spending a lot of my time doing today. I was on TikTok for, I binged about 5 hours of TikTok today.
Love that.
Yeah.
It's a fun time. I did see you, Rob. I saw you dabbled in making your own. That was a very fun when I was going through my timeline.
We did a podcast with the Washington Post TikTok guy, Dave Jorgensen. Says, make a TikTok every day. Got to see some of Kirsten's TikToks also. Very artistic.
Yeah, very, very artistic. Yeah, yes. Really talented. Yes. People should definitely check me out there.
Puya, where can we check you out some more?
You can check me out on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream about 3 times a week there. Definitely come check me out. I'm going to be out of town this weekend, so I will not be streaming tomorrow night. And I'm going to be pushing Among Us on Sunday to 3 p.m. I'll be getting home at like 2 something, then immediately jumping on. So we'll keep that going. And then obviously we've already talked about it, but 90 Day Fiance wrap up. I'll be on every week talking about the latest 90 Day Fiance episodes. And Masked Singer will be back in full force, and I'll be covering that week in, week out with Liana as well. And then obviously tomorrow morning, you're stuck with me and Taryn for one more ride. It'll be a fun one. And I can guarantee you this, it'll be longer than today's update. That at least I can guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What? Like it's
something
hard?
Interfered with today's. I don't know what was going on with that one.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Kirsten, what's coming up for you?
People can follow me everywhere, including Twitch. Kirsten Said What? I have a weekly BoJack Horseman rewatch podcast with Lindsay Wilson called BoJack Horse Pod. We're just wrapping up season 3, so very good time. So you could jump in there. It's a quick binge. It's fine. Riverdale is back for, I don't know, 4 more weeks or something. So me and Mary are breaking that down over on Kowski Cast. That is Cow with a K. And of course, the Circle Roundtable on Saturday.
Okay. All right. We'll see you there on Saturday. Great job tonight, Kirsten. And then Taryn, feeds are back up. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We had a fun time watching the episode live tonight over there. I'll be playing some Among Us at some point, I'm sure. Doing some things, playing some games, hanging out, talking to people, talking Survivor very soon. Yeah. So that'll be fun. Just find me there. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
Taryn, what'd you do with the majority of the day today with no live feeds?
What did I do for the majority of the day today? I did a stream.
Yeah.
Had some food. Went to the grocery store.
Oh,
that was the majority of my day.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you all enjoyed our live double eviction coverage. It was not the double eviction that we wanted, but hopefully we gave you the podcast recap it deserved. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.